Welcome to the newest episode of the Little House Book Club. The Little House Book Club is family-friendly and listener-supported, which means no commercials. If you would like to share your thoughts or suggest a book or author, please email me at mark@walnutgrovecast.com. Today, I have a very special guest. Her name is Annette Whipple. Annette Whipple celebrates curiosity and inspires a sense of wonder in young readers while exciting them about science and history. In the past year, she has released two books, The Laura Ingalls Wilder Companion, A Chapter-by-Chapter Guide, and Who Knew? The Truth About Owls. When she's not reading or writing, you might find Annette snacking on warm chocolate chip cookies with her family in Pennsylvania. Please welcome to the show, Annette Whipple. Whipple, right? I'm sorry. Whipple.
Yeah. Annette Whipple. Hi, thank you. I'm so glad to be here, Mark.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to come and speak to me about your book. You were kind enough to send me a copy, and I really love it. I'm kind of always been a fan of Laura Ingalls Wilder's writing, but the show got in the way, I'm going to say. But as an adult now, I am starting to go back and read the books. And I think even though your book might have had a focus for the younger readers, I'm going to read this, and I think that there's a lot of stuff that I'll be pulling out just for fun. And you have photos in here, historical things. I love this book, and it's exactly what I expected. And I just love the book. Thank you for writing it.
Oh, you're welcome. As an adult, I'm curious. You're curious, and there's so much that we understand that the children readers do not understand. But I've had great feedback about the Laura Ingalls Wilder Companion from fans, adult fans of both the show and the books as well. But especially the books, since it does focus on Wilder's books.
The books are a lot more fun than I even remember them being when I was a kid. So as I revisit them, you know, I'm sorry, go on.
No, that's okay. So it was a few years ago. It was actually 2014 when I was inspired to write The Laura Ingalls Wilder Companion. And it was because I was reading the books with my own kids, and they have so many questions. There's so much within the Little House books that they don't understand, not just the history, but the history, you know, reading some of that history with an 8-year-old or even a 10-year-old is very different than what you and I understand. And then it's also some of those conversations that need to happen for the complex issues, including the racism. I try to address all of that while making it fun for kids with the activities that I included, and just helping them to kind of dive into the books and experience the world of Little House.
Yeah, I really think that you accomplished that. And, you know, you also included a glossary of pioneer words, and I certainly learned one, milch cow, which is a cow used for milk. I had no idea.
Right. It sounds like a milk cow, but yeah, it was actually the hundreds of terms. I had to create all those definitions myself, but even just choosing which words to include and which ones not to include, and then those definitions, because I, of course, had to learn what the words meant first, because I might have a guess, but did I really know for sure? So it was interesting.
I think you did a great job with the glossary, definitely. But were you always a fan of the Laura Ingalls Wilder books?
I was a fan as a kid, and then it was actually before I had children. So I was probably in my late 20s or so when I read the books again as an adult and really appreciated them all over again. And even before I had the idea to write the book, I had read them as an adult a couple of times or listened to them, because the Cherry Jones audiobooks, if you ever have the chance to listen to those, they're incredible.
Oh really? No, I haven't.
They're perfect for long car rides with the kids, or if you want to introduce a 3 or 4 or 5 year old to the books, who they might not want to sit for a read aloud or play in the same room with you as you're reading aloud. They might not necessarily connect that well. But if you're in a car and you don't have anything else to do, you're going to listen.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing about, you know, say podcasts as well, is sometimes when you are a captive audience and you just want something, you can just throw it on. But I'm a kind of a big fan of long road trips with a book on tape type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And I actually have found that let's say I'm a tired driver, I am going to be more focused if I'm listening to a book instead of music.
I never thought of that.
Whereas my husband, he considers an audiobook to just be kind of white noise in the background. So it's very different for the two of us.
Oh, that's interesting.
But the Little House audiobooks, they are very well done and I really enjoy them. But yeah, so I was a fan as a kid, I was a fan as an adult, and then you know, when I started sharing them, the Little House books, with my own kids. Slowly but surely. And I was reading another book. We were reading the Narnia books, Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Mm-hmm. And I had a companion guide for the Narnia books. And I was like, I could write a book like this. And at that point, I had not been writing for children. I'd only been writing some magazine articles for adults.
Well, that was my next question. I was going to say, where did the idea to create a companion? And it was really just applying what you knew to another work that you saw.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, since, you know, I saw this book, Roar is what it was called. And I was like, this is fabulous. My kids loved it. They loved, you know, when we finished a chapter, they wanted to go into that companion guide. And So I studied that book and decided what I could use from that book in my own writing. But it was very quick to figure out what series would that could use a companion guide. Yeah. That really wasn't hard for me to figure out at all. And then it was a long process though, and I still needed to learn more about the publishing world. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of studying, did a lot of learning, eventually attended my first writing conference and that sort of thing. But it was really neat to see how the idea came about, and then I was able to make it happen. But
that
like
must
I said,
have been an exciting moment when you kind of thought, this is the idea, like it's really coming to fruition, you know?
Yes, and so that was August of 2014, and I started a blog called I called it The Little House Companion, and since then I've changed it to wildercompanion.com. But I started that back in 2014 because I knew I needed to build up that platform and that sort of thing. And it would also be good practice for me to pull some things out from the books and, you know, provide information or an activity, that sort of thing, for other fans. And it's been a neat experience. But, you know, after I had that idea, I contacted one of my dear friends who has worked in many libraries, including some of the big libraries across the country. And, you know, I asked, and she was a teacher and just a big book person, big on literacy, although she's not a writer. She's a huge reader and big advocate for education and such. And I knew that I needed to ask her what she thought. And then also,
that's the test right there, right?
Yes. You know, that trusted person of, you know, is this a good idea? And am I the person to do this? And she was behind the idea full force from the beginning. Wow. So that was exciting. And then I moved forward with it. But yeah, 6 years later, it's a book.
So there are book people and then there are the TV people.
Yes.
And while my podcast does focus mostly on the television series, we are slowly, you know, creeping over to the literature of the time and especially the literature from Laura Ingalls Wilder and, you know, like from Rose. And I just think that it needs to be discussed. And I think you do too. What are your thoughts on the TV show?
So I don't watch it regularly, mm-hmm. but it's fun to watch it because it goes beyond those nine Little House books. And that's mm-hmm. why some people don't like it, because it does go beyond.
Right.
But that's
fan fiction.
Part of the fun of it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that catch-22, I suppose. But, I think for those of us who are mainly book fans, one of the best parts about the TV show is that it kept the values of the books and ran with it. And it brought in so many fans to the books. With it's still going on TV and it's going strong. There are still new fans, there are old fans, and I appreciate how it brings people to the books and think it's wonderful. My favorite episode would be the pilot though, because that is so close to the books themselves. So,
And
but when I was in one of the semesters, or maybe it was a year that I was in college, one of a neighbor in my dorm, every afternoon before we went to the dining hall, we would sit and watch Little House on the Prairie in her dorm room. And
that's
that
kind
was.
of what's going on, like in France. It's found a new audience, and it's a really interesting show. And yeah, I fully understand what you're saying. It's really just a different universe, based loosely on each other, you know?
And there's new characters, there's completely different plot twists and such, but that's probably why the show was able to go for so long. Was it 9 years?
Yeah, it was 9 seasons, and then they had some movies. But there's also a lot of, I think, things to discuss, in the reality versus the television depiction, because, for instance, we have the Nelly character, and you have one of your sidebars, which is throughout your book, called Fact or Fiction. And I can't find this one. Where is it? So, but it discusses where the character of Nelly Olson came from, how it's based on three characters, and I just love that. I love. And what that is, I think, is a fun fact that anybody can bring up just the middle of nowhere. It's like, oh, you like a Little House on the Prairie. Well, did you know this? You know?
So I found the sidebar.
Okay.
So,
What page is it?
I'm in the advanced reader copy,
Oh.
but my page is 125, so it will be close to that. It
Okay.
was
I'll
just the
find
one that I grabbed. But it says, readers recognize Nellie Olson for the bully she was. Nellie represented three rivals from Laura Ingalls Wilder's childhood. Nellie Owens and Genevieve Masters lived in Walnut Grove, Minnesota, also known as Plum Creek. Nellie's father owned a store. Wilder described Nellie and her brother Willie as rude and selfish. Genevieve liked to brag about her New York connections. And then Wilder's third adversary, Stella Gilbert, lived a couple of miles away from Laura's home in DeSmet, Dakota Territory. Like the fictional Nellie Olson, Stella often went on buggy rides with Laura and Nell Manzo. Yeah, so it was so neat to be able to find those things that kids and adults would wonder about. Was this for real? Did this really happen? And include those fact or
Right.
fiction
It's a real
sidebars.
deconstruction, and it brings it just increases the value of it, because the television show is well over, what is it, 40 years now, it's over. And people are, like you're saying, people are still fans of the show. People listen to this podcast, but it's over. There's no more, right? But when you pick up this book, it really will open your eyes to it. There's a whole new universe of Little House on the Prairie out there. You just have to kind of read about it. That's the only tough part for some people. No, there's so many different things I wanted to ask you about. And you just kind of hit the nail on the head with something, with Almanzo. So, I had Lucy Lee Flippin on the show about a little over a year ago, and she was the person who had coined the pronunciation of Almanzo, and it just stuck. And
And
we've learned over time that it is, in fact, Almanzo, and that is what I've trained myself to say.
do you feel like you're saying it wrong when you're speaking on the podcast though? Because so many of your listeners are
No.
fans of the TV show.
I overemphasize it, because if somebody says Almanzo, see, I can almost not even say it the wrong way anymore. Almanzo, I'll say, "Who is that?" You know, and call them out for it. We don't allow it to be said that way. Also, Dean Butler spoke to me, and he says Almanzo. So the guy who played the character says it. He's on board. But I little things like that make, they're important to me. So, especially when I have a very hard to pronounce last name. So pronunciation is important.
It is. It is. And there are times when, and it's when it comes to the TV show, it's I do appreciate that they used Almanzo that whole time because that was who he was on the TV show. Mm. And it's just one little differentiation between real life and the TV show and even the books. But even the books are not all true. So, you know, sure. They are historical fiction. And so, you know, there's still fiction there. So,
well, so your book is organized pretty logically, I think. Part one focuses on the original popular books. But then in part two, you call it Life Beyond Little House, where you touch upon the book the first 4 years. Mm-hmm. Why did you create a separation of part one and part two, not just a continuation?
Well, part one is really Laura's childhood. Mm-hmm. And the first 4 years, Laura's an adult. She's married now. And the other part of that, and it was really the focusing on the big differentiation for me was childhood and adulthood, because I also wanted to have a chapter about what happened after the Little House books mm-hmm. in part two. But the other part of that is that the first 4 years was not published during Laura Ingalls Wilder's lifetime. And she didn't seek publication of that book, and she didn't really revise it for publication. And because of all of that, I really felt like it's different and it's separate, but there's also that different, even though it's included in, you know, the box sets and it's considered to be part of the Little House series, it was really written for adults. It was, she didn't intend it to be part of the Little House series.
Mm. That's
so that's part of my separation there.
You also mentioned how Wilder included tough subjects in her writing because they portrayed her own personal experiences as a pioneer and her own observations of the white settlers and the treatment of Native Americans. I like how you point out that although this represents the shameful past, we need to think about these issues, even if they make us uncomfortable. I just think it's possibly a lesson that she didn't intend on teaching, but over time, those comments and that discussion really, really bring a lot to the table, especially right now.
Yes. And there's been, you know, I'm sure, you know, there's been pushback about the Little House books because
Absolutely,
of the
yeah.
prejudice mm-hmm. within them. And that was historically accurate. And some people say, but we don't want to celebrate the books because they showed this. Mm-hmm. And that's not, every person can make up their own mind about how they feel about that. But I appreciate the discussions we can have about that time in history, about how Native Americans were treated mm-hmm. and why the Native Americans pushed back because of all of those broken treaties. And why, you know, the whole world was kind of conquered in one way or another, it seems, including North America. And, you know, the European settlers, they pushed west. And though the Native Americans were here, and that was part of my, I knew I wanted to address that. And I just had hoped that I would do it well, do it right for everyone. And I also knew that there would be people who would say that I didn't do enough to talk about and address some of those issues. And there would be others that said, oh, I went too far and said too much about it. But for me, I think about that child reader. And I think about what some of those thoughts that are going through their head as they're reading it. And, you know, some might say, that wasn't very nice or something like that. But I also want them to understand more about that back and forth between the Native Americans and the pioneers, as well as the government. Mm-hmm. Because it was complicated. And quite honestly, despite the fact that I have studied it, it still feels complicated to me.
It is. And it's because we don't, I think that possibly you and I cannot fathom feeling this way towards mm-hmm. people, maybe. And I thought that you were you touched upon it sensitively, but honestly. And for instance, in one of the sidebars, you mentioned the Dakota War of 1862, which was a horrifying situation. Mm-hmm. It was something that really did take place in the area that that Walnut Grove was. Like, it wasn't too far. And that ended in one of the largest mass executions in our nation's history, of 32 hangings. And it's just really, really awful. I think it was 303 Native Americans were arrested, and their families all arrested. Lincoln stepped in. I don't know if this number is exactly accurate, but he lowered their sentences or released them, like about 262 of them. So it's just a crazy period of our history, and I just think it's important. I think you do too. And your book really shows that you do think it's important. And although it has a lot of cuteness to it, it has a lot of brutal honesty as well. You don't ignore that, you know. You don't ignore that war.
It's right, and it's there are some things that, you know, the family, you know, the Little House books, really, and the TV show, lots of wholesome family values, lots. Mm-hmm. But through the books, and even through the TV show, we can learn more about history. And it's like, oh, I don't know about that. And I feel like my education, here's what I should say instead of starting like that. I've learned more about history as an adult than I did during my schooling. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because at this point I'm choosing what I'm learning. And I have found that, and not necessarily my book, although I hope it teaches a lot of history, but really it's that companion guide for the Little House book. So yes, history's in there, but I read a lot of middle grade and young adult nonfiction because it's so engaging, and it's very, it's just interesting to me. And the research, the authors still must do an incredible amount of research, just as much as if the book was written for adults. But because it's written for younger people, it has to be interesting. It won't feel academic. It won't feel as boring. So
yeah, one of the things I think that you've introduced to this companion is a segment that I think in each chapter you have it as house talk, mm-hmm. which just basically ask some of the harder questions to answer, maybe more questions that, you know, maybe the answer to it will be completely different for everybody in the room, type of thing. Right. And I really love that. You ask questions such as, what do you think amazed Laura the most at Nellie's party? You know, so of course this is from, I believe, On the Banks of Plum Creek.
Yes.
So there's a particular part of the book, and it's a great thing to, not a test of whether you paid attention, but more along the lines of, if you enjoyed it, you're going to have some real deep thoughts when it comes to answering these questions.
Right. And whether a child is reading the book by themselves or an adult, or a family is reading it, or even, you know, I know that teachers don't have as much time to dive into unit studies as they used to with literature. But if a teacher is even using it in the classroom, those house talk questions, you know, they can be used as discussion questions or just to help the reader to.
Yeah, you're doing the work for the teacher right here. You really are. I mean, you must have thought of that at the, at least in the middle of writing them.
Well, I was a teacher.
Oh, there you go. It's a lesson plan, really.
I was a teacher, and in so many ways, I still am. I'm, you know, and now I do it through my written words and then through school visits and even teaching writers and that sort of thing. So I'm still a teacher at heart for sure. But yes, I wanted it to be a tool that could be, you know, I wanted the book to be a tool for families, for teachers, and definitely for readers, because I do think that the Little House books deserve some of that back and forth discussion. Mm-hmm. Especially with some of the complicated topics like the prejudice, but not every family can do that. And mm-hmm. not all parents feel confident that they would be able to answer questions in a way that they would be satisfied. So I'm hoping that the Laura Ingalls Wilder Companion will be a tool for people like that.
Well, you have also segments called Dig Deeper, where it just gets deeper into the history of what was going on. Also, Live Like Laura segments. I just love these things. I mean,
yes.
We all want to live a little bit like Laura, right? but everywhere, you can just flip through it, and there's recipes and all types of things. Actually, there are several recipes and activities, and they all look like fun, but ones that stood out to me are ones I've heard of, but I don't know if I've ever created many of them. Snow maple candy with the warning that if you have braces, do not eat this. I thought, oh my God, did she go through something?
No, it was just, it's super, the maple snow candy is super sticky. This past winter, my son actually had braces, and every winter since that very first time that we made it to test it out for the book, we've, my kids have asked to make it every year. And this year I specifically didn't make it because I didn't want my son to miss out, but he only has retainers now. So he'll pop those.